sorted. Okay. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings.
Thanks, Kari. As Joel comes up, let me pray for him and for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks into our hearts and that it has power to change our lives. Thank you that your word is the truth. Please give us open ears and open hearts to hear from you this morning. I pray that you would be speaking to each of us the things that we need to hear. Please encourage us, challenge us, and reveal more to us about who you are and how you call us to live. Please empower Joel to speak faithfully. Give him the words he needs to say and speak through him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, for everyone else who's still in here, including kids who may normally be in kids' church or kids who have sort of just been on the cusp of coming out of kids' church as well, I know sometimes it's difficult to engage with sermons because people speak for longer amounts of time and we're not necessarily speaking directly in the more youthful way you are used to in kids' church. So there are some things that I'll try and include you and involve you in along the way. We love to have your input, and kids have a lot of wisdom that adults need to hear, as well as the other way around. So please do join in when those moments come up. But I wanted to start today by asking a question to everyone, and we'll see, we can sort of discuss it out loud as a group together, that what do we think is more important? Do we think truth is more important, or do we think love is more important? Now, you can't pick both, because we're going to talk about that later, but what do you think? If you had to pick one, truth or love, what is more important? Go.
Love.
Love? Yeah, why? Okay, so if you're really loving someone, you would be truthful as well?
True. Because if you're really truthful.
Ah, I see. Yes. What else do we see in the world? What do people think is more important, truth or love? Mm-hmm.
But the love hasn't been as important, and I think that's probably wrong. I think love should be more important, and through that,
and truth. I think a lot of the Gansa said as well, if we're told to speak truth in love, then truth comes from love, and then that can make the love exciting.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
That's right, and it's a pretty broad term when we say God is love as well. That, you know, that really widens what we can understand by that. Yeah, the greatest of these is love. Was truth mentioned in that though? All you need is love. It's a bit of an interesting debate, and one that, yeah, maybe needs more tightly defined definitions of what those things are, or what we mean by those things. I just had two thoughts. So one on the next screen is that, like, we see the truth being often maybe abused in a way. So I'd take street preachers for an example. So now, some street preachers might be saying exactly the things we believe, and that might be their truth, or some might skew it a bit and not the truth that we believe. But either way, the way they're going about it is going, believe this, you need to believe this, this is the truth. And I would say that doesn't feel very loving to a lot of people. Maybe there's a particular target audience that, you know, they want that and they respond to that, but I personally find a lot of this stuff like really full on and not very loving. So they've gone to the extreme. For them, the truth is so important, and the most loving thing maybe they can do is actually telling people the truth, no matter how they tell people. So that's one extreme of how the truth comes out ahead of love. If we go to the next screen, I think the other flip side of it is maybe if people don't have a truth as their source, right, and then they love, what does that look like? So I often think if I wasn't a Christian, if I didn't believe what I believed, would I give to charity? Would I spend time with people who need help? I don't know. I think it's a pretty dog-eat-dog world, and if I didn't have a source of truth, the Bible telling me that God is love and that I've been loved, would I have motivation to do that, to look at other people, or would I just love myself? So I just wonder, if we don't have the truth, where does that motivation of love come from? And is it actually love, or is it people going, I'm just going to do this, volunteer and help because it makes me look good, or just because of another reason? So maybe there's two extremes of how love or truth can come out on top when we don't put them together. Thankfully, we're going to carry on and we're going to see what John says to us today in his letter. And we're already seeing that, yeah, he's going to talk about both of those things together. Kids, as you're listening, there is stuff to draw on over there as well. And if you want to draw a picture, maybe a picture of what you think truth looks like or love looks like to you could be a good idea to draw. We might get, if you want to share one of those at the end, you could do that too. So as we look at 2 John today, it's really cool to be up here preaching from 2 John. Because 2 years ago in 2016, I was able to lead and preach a few sermons on 1 John. And so that was really cool to be able to, I just love the letters of 1, 2, 3 John. So to be able to preach again from another letter is exciting. And also 3 years ago, I did actually preach on 2 John in another church. So part of the idea of coming back and looking at 2 John today was that I could take what I had then and share it with you guys, except when I started preparing, I ended up just throwing that all out the window because I'd feel like maybe I'd change, or my understanding of the passage had changed, God was speaking to me in a different way this time. So that's kind of exciting as well. I really love the letters of 1, 2, 3 John, and this one in particular is really short, it's really refreshing, but also on the flip side, sometimes John's writing puts us in these conundrums or these infinite loops that are kind of tricky to understand. So there's some simple understandings, but I think if you dive deeper, it just spirals downwards, spirals inwards, and the depth that is there is crazy. One thing I just wanted to note I'll look at about three sections. So sort of look at the intro and then the passage from verses 4 to 6, which is talking about love, and then 7 to 11, which is going to talk about truth. So I think on the next screen it should just have the outline of where we're going with this. So as we start looking at verses 1 to 3, and as John greets, there's a little note at the top of your page if you're reading the Red Bibles as well that talks about this. But there's two different views on how John greets people, and he says, "Dear lady," or to the lady chosen by God and to her children. Some scholars think that means a Christian woman and her family unit at the time. Others say it's symbolism language for a church and its members. So there's both views, and there's no real definitive answer on that. I personally think it's probably like code or symbolism for the church and its members, but either way, it's talking to a family and its members. So I think this is directed at a particular family, and it's applicable for us today as well. So John, in his first three verses, introduces his two topics, truth and love, and you'll notice that he can hardly write a verse without it. In fact, in John's New Testament work, writings, he mentions truth 37 times, and in 1 and 2 John, he mentions love 50 times. So they're two words and topics that are close to his heart, and obviously close to God's heart, and that he believes are important. And I reckon there's two things we can take out from these first three verses. So if we look at verse 1 and 2 in particular, it says, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. So it's essentially saying, I love you guys in the truth. So in what I believe, I love you guys, and everyone else who believes the same truth loves you guys too. So he's speaking to the church. So he's essentially saying, in the truth of Jesus Christ, we are bound together. In this truth and love, like that is binding the church together. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, a greeting, which is used elsewhere in the Bible, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son. And he finishes with, will be with us in truth and love. So he's essentially saying, and this truth and love that binds the church together is actually something that gives us more things as well. Like that is the source for this grace, mercy, and peace, which we can bless, we are blessed with and bless one another with. So I think verses 1 to 3 give us a great picture of God's people. We're united in truth and love, we're motivated by truth and love, and we get to give and live out that love and grace and mercy and peace with one another. That's a beautiful picture. That's us. We're God's people, and we're bound together in this truth and love. So then John goes on, and in verse 4 to 6, he talks about love. And I feel like in some ways this is the most straightforward part of the letter, and in other ways it's like I was talking before. It's like this spiraling staircase that we're just going to keep getting deeper and deeper in. So two verses that stood out to me as we were reading it were, he says, I am not, so this is verse 5, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. So he sort of defines love. So he says, I ask that we love one another, and he says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. So in a way, we live out what we believe, what God, the truth that God has imparted on our life. And he says, the truth, those commands, are to love. So we sort of end up in this infinite loop in a way that's like, well, we, in love, we're called to follow the truth and live out what the truth calls us to live out, and that truth calls us to love. So no matter where you start in that, we should end up with the same two things. There's a message version of these verses that I wanted to read out, because I think it brings the language into a really casual way, and I think it helps bring out the emotion of how John might have been speaking to the church. So I'm going to read that out for us. I can't tell you how happy I am to learn that many members of your congregation are diligent in living out the truth, exactly as commanded by the Father. But permit me a reminder, friends, and this is not a new commandment, but simply a repetition of our original and basic charter, that we love each other. Love means following his commandments, and his unifying commandment is that you conduct your lives in love. This is the first thing you heard, and nothing has changed. So it's great. It's like saying, the first thing you heard, you've been loved, you need to love. The truth of what we believe about God and how God's loved us through Jesus calls us to actually love God and to love others as well. The truth of God's love points us to more love. And so I think I want us to remember two things from this. One is, isn't it exciting to see God's people living out this love? John writes this letter and he says, I'm overwhelmed. I'm so happy. It's given me great joy. It's exciting to see you guys living out this love. And you can imagine if Ben was here today, I think Ben's probably said this kind of thing before, but he'd come up and say the exact same thing. I sit here and I'm encouraged over the time that I've been at Barney's by the way people have lived out their love of God. And I think it's really cool and exciting to know that God's love is exciting. God's love brings joy when we see it in action. So John was excited by that. And I'm sure, take my words here as an encouragement as a church, that we are, that we've definitely seen God's love at work. But also John reminds them to keep on going. He says, yeah, I know it's the command that you've heard before, and you've probably heard it more than once. You've heard it right from the beginning. But don't forget that. Keep going with that. You're doing a good job, so don't think you've finished that off. Keep going. Keep living out the truth of what you believe in love. And then he carries on. So we move on to verses 7 and 11, and he issues a bit of a warning about truth to the church. So in verse 7 he says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. So I say this because I'm calling you to love and reminding you of that commandment, because there are people who are deceiving you. There are people who are skewing the truth. John wants to remind the church that the truth is vital. He says, this love that you're living out, if you forget the teaching and the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is going to be, in the end, useless. It's going to be worthless, and it won't last as well. I think when we are loving, but then we forget the truth of the fact that we've been loved by God, I feel like our love energy might run out. Imagine relationships, right? When we live out life with one another, we interact with one another, we love one another. And when someone does something good for someone else, so maybe I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to do the dishes. And if my motivation for that is external to that person, because I know I've been loved and it'd be a nice way to serve and I'm not expecting repayment, I don't care if they notice me, then that love is going to keep going because my external source is God and he's got infinite love. And I'm going to be able to do the dishes 100,000 times for that person without expecting them to know or care or anything back. But as soon as I forget that truth that God's given me the love, I'm going to do the dishes, and then when that person that I'm doing them for doesn't notice and doesn't thank me and then doesn't do the dishes back for me next time, I'm going to go, well, they haven't loved me back. I'm not going to love them again. Or maybe I'll give them one more chance and I'll do it one more time, but then that's it. And then that person is going to go, well, now they're not doing the dishes and I noticed that and I'm not going to do anything back, and then this cycle of unlove or this cycle of ungrace builds. But as soon as both people in that relationship or all people in the church are drawing their love from the truth of what God has done, it's going to last forever because we're not relying on one another. And that's good, because we're all going to fail at this. We're all going to stuff up, and we can't love perfectly. So, yeah, I think John's calling us to basically rest in that truth and draw your source of love from that. Live out the truth in love. Remember, you love because you are loved, because you've been loved. And in verse 9, he goes on, he says, don't run off or stray. So we've got to guard the truth in hearts and ears. So he's talking about if people come in and they're talking about a truth that is different or skewing the truth or not talking about Jesus Christ as a man who lived in the flesh and died and rose again for us and ascended into heaven. If they're not talking about that, we've got to be really careful, because if what they're saying changes that truth in our hearts, that's where we're going to be led astray. So I think he's calling us to guard the truth and take that really, really seriously. So what might that look like in our lives? Well, on a personal level, it might be what we hear from people around us, what we hear from things in books or movies or podcasts or whatever it may be, that source that we're learning from. We've got to check back with the ultimate source of truth. We've got to line that up with what the Bible tells us, so we don't stray from the truth. Maybe in a gospel community level as well, I think it can be a word of caution, because, I mean, we're gospel communities. We're founded in the gospel, in the truth, and we're communities. So we may be really living out that love and serving, but I think we all know that if we start doing that without the right motivation in our hearts, without that truth and believing that we are serving because we've been served, we are loving because we've been loved, that gospel community is quickly going to turn into just a community that burns out. So we want to be communities of truth, communities that are reminding one another of the truth, the reasons why we live that out, the reasons why we do that, the reasons why we love. If we keep to the truth, it's going to lead us to God, and that's going to lead us to more love. I'm going to finish there. I wanted this to be really practical. I've got some questions that we'll have up on the screen, and you don't have to answer these right now, but there will be a time for reflection and discussion shortly. So maybe have a think through some of these questions and then chat with the people around you or discuss in a few minutes, but I'll read out the questions. What will you change this week to live out the truth in love? Get practical. What truths of God do you need to be reminded of? What would it look like for your gospel community to live out the truth in love? And if Croydon was a suburb filled with people living out the truth in love, what would be different? So some questions to help us think through that. I'm going to finish our time together by praying and sort of summarizing a bit of what we've learned in that prayer. Please pray with me. Father Lord, you are the God of truth and love, and thank you that you've given us time together to look at your word and open that up this morning and see that we are a church family that is bound together in the truth and love of Jesus. Father, help us to know that apart from this truth, apart from this love, that we can't really have that relationship with you and relationship with one another. We can't receive your grace and mercy and peace. We've got to believe the truth about Jesus. We've got to receive your love, Father. Father, help us to see and believe your truth, and let that lead us to living lives of love. Help us to guard the truth, so that we're not deceived by people telling us the wrong thing, or deceived by our hearts telling us the wrong thing. Help us to guard what we believe is the truth. And Father, just fill us with your love. Help us to live lives that are founded in you, because you are love and you are the source of love. You're going to help us love more. In those moments where we're impatient, where we've lost our reason for loving, where we've lost the truth and we've forgotten who you are and who we are, please remind us, Father, by your Spirit, that you are living in us, that you've called us your children, that you want us to live out this love and share your love with others. We pray all these things in your name, Father. Amen.